Grumpy Old Bird at number 33. Time for a Cool Change. Footnote, Cool Change was a minor hit for the Little River Band, Australia's answer to the Eagles. Is it about age? No, it can't be, as I've met twitchers in their 60s and 70s. Perhaps then it's about how long you've been birding. Nope, can't be that one either, as I've met rabid twitchers who've been at it a lifetime, and newbies who wouldn't look over the hedge at the end of the patch if a passenger pigeon turned up in the next field. It must be me then. I must be changing. Fear not, dear listener, birding is in my blood and bones, and I'll still thrill to a passing swift or the call of a midnight owl as I shuffle off this mortal coil. Nevertheless, I am undergoing a profound change. Yesterday was as dead a birding day as we get, hot and humid, and in a summer when heat and rain have turned hedgerows into jungle. In the classic birding parlance, there was not a lot about. That is to say, there were no rarities to rattle the pages, or not least not in my part of Blighty. A week ago, I had a walk around by one of my... Come on, do it again. A week ago, I'd walked around a bit of one of my local reserves, and while it was an enjoyable stroll, or as enjoyable as it's as my arthritic hips allow, there were no redwood for... Oh, dear. I'll do the whole paragraph. A week ago, I'd walked around a bit of one of my local reserves, and while it was an enjoyable stroll, or as enjoyable as the arthritic hips allow, there were no redwood falcons or American coots threatening to enhance my bird list. I birded so little this summer that several garden warblers were the high point, as they did make it to the 2012 list for the first time. A day or two later, I struggled to the viewing ramp at the other end of the reserve and sat undisturbed on a warm and windy day. No common sandpipers or gargany, which I still need for the year. The thing is that I cared less for these omissions than at any time in my birding years. During the stroll around the wet woods, we had been serenaded by blackcaps, heard a great spotted woodpecker drumming, and watched massive spawning carp rolling in the shallows. Sitting on the bench in the viewing ramp, I could look heavenwards and watch a hobby lazily on the hunt and a passing buzzard drifting by. Despite the strong breeze, I caught sight of a bearded tit poorly flying a few yards across the reed bed and was nearly deafened by the sudden burst of Chetty's warbler song. An hour more passed on that bench with nothing more exciting than a distant common tern hovering over a pool and a swift passing so low that it practically parted my hair. And I loved every sedate and serene second of it. Yesterday I watched a ringneck parakeet clinging to one of my feeders and munching his way through the sunflower seeds. I saw a blackbird on my shed roof, feathers fluffed out and wings all awry, letting the sun in to see if they could take care of his ticks, and panting, beak open to dissipate the heat. Later I pottered among my pots and a young dunnock hopped into our lilac bush 3 feet from my head, and I chatted quietly to it. Sitting in the sun with Maggie catching rays to ensure our daily 15 minutes of vitamin D, a blue-tit family ignored us completely and fed on our feeders inches from us, while less brave goldfinches twittered at us from the telephone wire to our house, basically telling us to get lost so they could eat us out of house and home. The cool change has crept over me, and I see that such everyday birding, such ordinary ornithology, gives me more pleasure than a barrow load of avian accidentals. I haven't managed many overseas birding for well over a year, and I'd love to expand my world list, but I no longer care if UK rarities pass me by. Even the world list has become less of a goal for me, and while I want to see new and exotic species, the manner of the birding will have to change. I cannot contemplate chasing my tail to get every endemic. I want to just enjoy the novelty and entire environment, not one bird at a time, but en masse and at leisure. On one of my first overseas jaunts, more than 30 years ago, getting the most out of a round-the-world ticket, I pitched up in Fiji, right after a hurricane had taken the tops of almost every palm tree on one side of the island. Most birds had been blown off or were hiding, and I could count on the fingers of one hand the number of birds I saw in 3 days. I had pre-booked an outing to a coral atoll and saw flying fish gliding along our bow wave, then beachcombed for coral on the sand too hot to stand on barefoot. We had a cookout on the beach, and then we took the leftovers in a glass-bottomed boat out to feed the fish on the reef. I snapped away like a mad tourist trying to capture the exciting novelty on film when I had an epiphany so profound it affects my daily life even now. I put down the camera and stopped making a record of the experience in favour of actually enjoying it. In an instant, I'd realised that instead of enjoying the moment, I was wasting it being a spectator rather than a participant. Well, folks, as I gazed from my office window and when I lolled on the viewing ramp, I experienced an epiphany as profound, if rather more drawn out. I don't care if the grass is green on the other side of the hill. What's the point of worrying about that if you can't even appreciate the colours of everyday life? Thomas Hobbes said that life is nasty, brutish and short. Well, sad to say, for half the world that's true. But I think for the rest of us, Joni Mitchell had it right when she sang, "You don't know what you've got till it's gone." I don't give a flying fig that sitting with Joni watching the sunset's a cliche. I'm going to appreciate the birds that I do see. That's the end.